friends and family, it's time for Mio Ayo. You got this. A safe place for self-discovery. Here is your host, owner of Mio Ayo Counseling Services, Christy Shaw.
Good morning. My name is Christy Shaw, and I'm from Paipop First Nation. My mother's from the Métis community in Librette, and I am an Indigenous social work graduate from the First Nations University, and I'm now a mental health therapist through NIHB. And my goal, I guess, in this profession and in this journey is to empower people to understand themselves, share with them some of the tools and some of the things that I've learned along my healing journey, and especially the tools that have been helpful through my education journey in Indigenous social work. And then I guess the other side is the some of the spiritual aspects. That's probably why I don't call myself a mental health therapist, because it's not just about what's going on in the mind. It's about what's going on in the heart, in our bodies, in our environments, and in our communities and things like that. So it's a bigger kind of, I guess, view of what I hope wellness to be and how I can share that with the people that I'm around. So I try to make things kind of easily to understand. I don't want to overcomplicate things. I don't think that that's very empowering to people. I want people to have the tools to really understand themselves. And, you know, another reason for that is sometimes when we don't understand ourselves and we don't maybe understand where we come from or why we are the way that we are, we're kind of susceptible to people that might tell us who we are. And then that kind of delays our journey another maybe 10, 15, 20 years into really finding a sense of peace and wholeness within ourselves and that empowering feeling that I think we all want to have. So I've worked with different knowledge keepers and teachers, and I really appreciated, you know, them really understanding those aspects of themselves. However, with my education, I guess, within the westernized education, there's other tools and theories and things that are actually helpful. I wouldn't say that that's just the whole thing that I'm about, but there are some pieces that I like to pull in, because in terms of understanding myself and my family, a lot of those theories were very, very helpful to understand. And so it helped me to come to a place of peace and forgiveness in my upbringing, in my family, understanding why we were the way that we were without any more shame or judgment attached to that.
Yeah.
So I found education to be very helpful for me in that, removing that stigma, I guess, that I was carrying for so long, and that of my family as well. Hi, everyone. This is Christy. And on today's podcast, we are going to be talking about the healing benefits of yoga. And I'm joined by my good friend, Will Yuzichipi.
Yes. Hello, Christy. Welcome back to the studio once again.
Thank you so much.
Yoga. Oh, now, when you say yoga, first and foremost, I like this out because it happened to me once. We started yoga with my wife and I a while back. And it was more along the lines of, at that time, I was looking at yoga as getting my body more in shape, maybe getting more flexible. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, the first day, I think I was the only guy in the whole gymnasium of ladies in their mats doing the yoga stretching. And I was like, oh, I was like, dialogue, what's wrong? I said, I got a fart. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to make comical of it, but it's like,
yes,
it was so quiet. Everybody's, and I was like, I got it. I was feeling I couldn't relax because it was like, I don't know, just a little bit out. I was like, oh, okay, and then the second time we went, I was a lot more relaxed. In fact, I was so relaxed
that you farted right away.
I'll let that out before I got in. No, I fell asleep.
Oh, yes.
I fell asleep.
Yes.
There was about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12. Again, mostly females. The second or third time, there's a couple guys there that found out, not just ladies going, I was going to. But they were doing the different poses. And that one pose, I guess at that time, didn't realize it. I actually felt the relaxation part of it.
Beautiful.
Right? And I was like breathing. And, and then next thing you know, Di kind of, Oh, different pose. Okay. So you got to roll over again. But
yeah,
that was before I was on my healing journey, right? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of aware of yoga, but not the unlocking abilities to your inner self that it actually has the ability to.
Yes.
So now when I do my yoga, it's more I guess the word we used before was meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Meaningful. So not so much wanting the release, but being prepared for that release, releasing, preparing your body for life, I guess you can say. That's how yes. I look at it now. Because I do yoga in the morning,
mm-hmm.
Certain poses I go through. And not that it really does a lot, but the fact that I feel it when I don't.
Yes. Right? Yeah. So I think yoga and basically I've talked about it and I'm a big, you know, I believe in it so much. And of mm-hmm. course it's because of my own experience with it. But basically I wanted to talk about, I guess, the healing part of yoga and the basis of it is not so much, like the workout or the flexibility, although those are all benefits, the relaxation, but what the most important piece is that you are reconnected with your body and the sensations in your body, and whether those sensations are good feelings, relaxing feelings, maybe there's soft feelings, tender feelings, maybe there's painful feelings. And I mean, even just, you know, because of the way that we sit, right? And sometimes we get a very, our muscles kind of get closed off if we're at our desks all the time. We get kind of crouched over in our shoulders. So you're going to be aware of those feelings. And then, of course, if you are willing and open to it, there's a lot of healing practices and feelings that can come from it. So I've been practicing yoga for about 8 years. And I started with more of like it's called deep stretch and relaxation type of poses. So you're holding, you know, gentle poses for up to 5 minutes. And because of my ADHD, I had tried meditation before and I never could really get to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
I would hear a noise or I'd start thinking about what I had to do yeah. next. And so I never, I wasn't able to get to that real meditative state in a good way. Whereas with yoga, it's enough of a quiet meditative state where I go. I don't even know where I go. I'm off. I think I'm in some sort of spiritual kind of process. But my body is engaged enough where I'm not focusing too much on the present and what I need to do next. So it's very, very powerful. And I think it's a space where I can just be Christy. I don't have to be mom. I don't have to be, you know, a counselor, and I'm not leading the class. I guess to get to take care of Christy mm-hmm. and her spirit and her well-being. But I also am taking care of my mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual all at the same time, which in a lot of, I'm not even sure how aware I am of places like that. The third thing I'll say is that the movement of the body is also important. So sometimes when we're in group therapy or maybe counseling or even in ceremonies, right, we're supposed to be very, very still in our bodies. And sometimes that can create an energy, right? Because we have thoughts and emotions and they're going to create a feeling. And when we're kind of stuck to just sitting still, that doesn't really create a great feedback loop for our bodies. So when you're in yoga, you know, you are encouraged to move and express yourself and express the things that are in your body and to pay attention to the cues. So that relationship between what you're thinking and what you're feeling and your reaction to it is that, I think I call it unshakable connection to yourself. Because you're going to know. You're going to know what you think and you're going to know what you feel. And your body is going to say, she's listening to us now. We can send her more information mm-hmm. about why we're feeling this way. Yeah.
Yeah. And as well, we say, again, forgot to start the show with it. We respect everybody on their healing journey, no matter where you're, if you're just starting or whether you're saying, yes, been there, I know what it's doing. Because again, it starts with yourself mm-hmm. and believing in yourself and loving yourself first and foremost. Because I'm sure you agree, like I can't heal you if mm-hmm. I'm not healed mm-hmm. or if I'm not in that healing journey.
Yeah.
Right. Cause
yeah.
again, I say that because, I've been on mine for about 3 years now, mm-hmm. serious, like really meaningfully, mm-hmm. searching for answers. And again, like we mentioned before, I always want to pass this on. You have that one aha moment they used to be called an Oprah moment. For me, literally the clouds parted. It was a blue sky and I felt happy. Mm-hmm. I felt at ease, no guilt, no guilt, no fear, no anger, just being in the present and being happy to be there.
That's beautiful.
And I hadn't experienced that before.
Yes.
I may have, but I didn't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Now
mm-hmm.
it's like I bookmarked that day, mm-hmm. that feeling, because I want to live in that moment. I want to live in that feeling mm-hmm. all the time. And once I accepted that, then that's when my healing journey really started.
Yes.
Like you mentioned how it's like an onion. It's like, oh, there's one thing. Oh, there's another one. And yoga is part of that now. It's part of my healing support, I guess you can say. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's I notice that when I do it meaningfully. Like there are days in the morning when I just go through it, just to get my body in order.
Yeah.
But there are times when I know I'm meaningfully doing it, and I open my eyes like, oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
a little more power for the day, a little more. And again, power for me
mm-hmm.
to handle whatever comes in that day.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it is. It's so we talk about things like I don't like to use self-care because sometimes it's kind of like overused, but maybe I'll use self-love.
Okay. Yeah.
And how do we practice that? So yoga is a powerful way to practice self-love and loving our bodies.
And it's just one way that we're presenting. Because you mentioned the three. There's yourself,
mm-hmm.
there's a spiritual,
yes.
and there's also the body movement.
Yes.
Right. And people might identify with different parts of that. I know as First Nations, the spiritual side is always with us,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of people don't share that. No, that's me. That's something I do in the morning. That's my prayers, my smudge,
mm-hmm.
right? But alongside of that, there's If you're ready, if you want, mm-hmm. there's something deeper there.
Absolutely.
And it just takes the time to look into yourself. A safe place for self-discovery, as we mentioned on this podcast.
Ah, yeah. Beautifully put. And a little bit of what I'm going to share today is sometimes, again, I think I'm always aware to share that there's some science, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's
yes.
some Western research.
Yeah.
I'm going to share a little bit of a podcast or a question and answer that Dr. Bessel van der Kolk had went through. And I'm sure I've shared his name before, but he wrote the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And so he's a neuroscientist, you know, very, very well known and highly researched and kind of the go-to person in this area. But the book that he wrote was called The Body Keeps the Score. So he's studying the brain, the neural pathways in the brain, the connections, and, you know, more psychologist,
mm-hmm.
right? But as he continued on his research, he noticed that, wait a second, we're missing the whole other part of a human, right? Which is the rest of the body and how, you know, when we've experienced trauma, how it is kept and stored in the body and ways that we can help ourselves and help each other to move through that. Some of the research, I guess, that I've also really, really, I guess it opened my eyes a lot in terms of, I guess, how I see people and how I walk alongside people. But some people might think about somebody who's a veteran. And or other people that have gone through, you know, extreme amounts of shock, trauma, their bodies become very, very stiff, right? And their very shoulders can be very, very tense. You know, there's no flexibility in their body. And that's representative of the mind, right? Of the flexibility in the body will create flexibility in the mind and of our thoughts. And of course, I've talked about stress on the body too. You know, I'm always trying to think about ways of how can we regulate ourselves, bring our stress levels down. And, you know, I even think about this for children of people that have that are veterans. They still sometimes do have those body positions of stiffness and fear. And so even helping them with some of these nervous system yoga and things like that, because they are not even sure where it's coming from. Yeah. So the main, one of the things that...
I'm sorry, that must be really interesting. From my point of view, obviously it's healing and it's handed to those veterans for living through that, but then also to try and heal from that.
Mm-hmm.
But also from your point of view, I find it interesting in how to, I guess, respectfully have them share. Because
mm-hmm.
it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
From my point of view, it's hard. I want to say my trauma is that whatever, but no matter what the trauma and what the size of the trauma and how it affects you, that first step is always the hardest, is to share, to let it go.
Yeah.
Find a reason to let it go. Because a lot of people say, no, I can't. I got to keep this for some reason, right?
Yes.
But you don't have to. And again, I encourage everybody that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Just take that one first step and say, well, Mm-hmm. Right. And then once you get it off, then it's like, once you get it off your chest.
Yes.
You know, and again, I don't want to perceive myself as knowing anyway. I just know that first time when I said, okay, Krista, I think we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That first time, that took a lot.
It took a lot.
Again,
yeah.
From my point of view, from my world.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't a good thing for therapy. Oh, no, I don't want to say anything.
Yes.
Right. So I had to overcome my own, I guess, guilt and shame,
mm-hmm.
right, to take mm-hmm. that step.
Yeah, and guilt and shame keeps us stuck.
Mm-hmm. With me, it's guilt and shame. Others, I can see it being like horror mm-hmm. with a veteran. Like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
oh my.
And for their children to now kind of be left carrying this burden.
Yeah.
That they are not understanding, but knowing that they have a sense of rigidity and fear, and not knowing necessarily where it's come from, can be, you know, those people suffer as well, because they don't have a place to put it or to name it, but they can only kind of maybe share the experiences that they had, mm-hmm. and then we can find some insight. But there's some who, you know, don't take that curiosity to the next level, right. and kind of suffer with it without having kind of a root cause or an understanding. Just this is just the way that it is,
right?
But knowing that they're not happy, maybe they don't experience joy, maybe they're fearful of joy, maybe they're fearful of relaxation, but not really understanding where that is.
And that's one step too, is like the fear of mm-hmm. whatever, failure, success, even the fear of success.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
I was mentioning how yoga, some people might listen to this podcast and have this connotation of yoga, stretching and zen, right?
Yeah.
But you might not realize that a lot of the stuff that you do, for instance, like smudging in the morning and saying your prayer, that can be considered a type of yoga. It's a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to give your body a chance to discover itself,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the easiest way. Instead of having somebody saying something to you or watching a video or having somebody, again, tell you how,
mm-hmm.
That's the most effective way, is to experience it yourself.
Yes, yes. And the reason why I'm always promoting this type of work is that, you know, and I guess if you're thinking about therapy as mm-hmm. in a bigger context is, I'm not the type, and I'm sure that there's lots of others that are, you know, more recent, maybe graduates of in this field. I'm not going to tell you how you should think and how you should feel.
Right.
That
right.
to me is unethical.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not sure, that's okay too. We're going to find ways for you to understand how right. you think and how you feel. And yeah. that's where we're going to start from.
I was just going to say that. And yoga is one of those first steps.
Yes.
Right.
Because yeah.
again, no matter what journey you're on, you're always looking into yourself. Like whether you go jogging in the morning. You do that for yourself.
Yeah.
And while you're jogging, you're kind of meditating. You're getting to know your mind and mm-hmm. how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga is one of those ways. So again, you know, you may find yourself kind of chuckling or talking about yoga, but you might realize that, oh, hold on, I'm kind of doing the same thing already.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, the fact that yoga has the doctor's back, the information is true.
Maybe I'll just talk a little bit about some of the research.
Yes, the research. Sorry,
that's okay.
Find the words.
Yeah, some of the research behind the benefits of yoga. Because again, I got into yoga just more open-minded, just to help, you know, with my back, and
sure.
I was looking for something physical to do, but not too intense. And so I kind of stumbled upon yoga, I guess I'll say. I didn't realize that there was this many health benefits and this much research behind it. So there have been studies on the effects of yoga that a practice had on participants with psychological trauma. And this includes increased self-compassion, feeling more centered, improved coping skills, and a better mind-body relationship, and enhanced relationships with others. So like, that's pretty powerful to think about, you know, a small practice that can help us to have self-compassion, right? And more centered. So yoga can help calm the mind and calm the nervous system, which I've spoken about, combined with the mindfulness, right? So that meditative state, like you had said, self-compassion and yoga can create an unshakable well-being foundation for well-being. And that is the part that I love is maybe I'll speak from experience here for a moment, but, you know, growing up and even into my 20s and a bit of my 30s, I'd kind of be like more of an easily swayed person, right? So if I was thinking and feeling some way, I wasn't too sure about it, right? So I'd ask somebody else and then they would kind of give me some insight. And then I'd say, well, you know what, maybe I'll go with what they think and how they feel about the subject, right? And then I would kind of lean that way. And then I'd go back to maybe the situation and I'd get another perspective. Well, now I'm leaning over on this side over here. And so for me, my decisions were very easily swayable based on what others thought and their perspective. Now when I make decisions, and I'm hopeful that maybe this is something that will be helpful for others, is I know, because I know in my body what it is that I want to do and what feels right for me. And nobody can convince me otherwise of what feels right for me. And we might have had stuff that happened, you know, before where we weren't sure, right? And we kind of maybe lost track of what was right and wrong. Whereas yoga is going to give you that autonomy, that empowerment that you do know and you do trust your intuition. And your body's going to give you more of that information the more that you connect with it and kind of react to it in a good way, right? Respecting it and honoring your body. Nice. In a very, very wholesome way. Yeah. And I think about, yes, there's other, there's some research behind weightlifting and running and things like that. But with yoga, it's like, it's one of those practices too that you're not really left feeling in pain. It's not like you're like, oh, my biceps are sore.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to take time off relaxing from your workout.
Yeah. Because yoga, it stretches and takes the pressure off of the joints and off of the spine.
Well, I guess if you do have pain from yoga, then you're probably doing it wrong.
Potentially, yeah.
But I know weightlifting, you force your body to build.
Yes.
But with yoga, it's more of a stretching building.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And balancing. That's the other thing.
Balancing.
Yeah.
Big time.
So, and I guess I was sharing this with another group because I do a lot of group work. When you do yoga and when there's a lot of balancing moves that you practice. And so it's so interesting though, but if you think about it, if you're learning to stand on one foot and, you know, there's a tree pose where you stand on one foot and you put your arms in the air and you sway the arms like a tree. Now let's just say somebody is coming up beside you and trying to push you off. You're going to have the balance in your body to stay standing. Right. And so you think about that in a practice of recognizing your body and its ability to balance, even when the ground that you're walking on is unshakable. Right. And so that's the intensity, I guess, that can happen with long-term connection to a yoga practice, you know, as you maybe experience it. Yeah. So there's a national, according to the National Institutes of Health, scientific evidence shows that yoga supports stress management, mental health, mindfulness, healthy eating, and quality of sleep. When I'm thinking about this healthy eating aspect is when you've got that really strong connection to your body, you're going to notice when you maybe the chips and the pop aren't sitting super well, right?
McDonald's, yeah. Or the fast food.
The McDonald's, right? And so you're going to want to keep that good feeling and you're going to want to build on it as well. Yeah. So yoga can improve our strength and balance and flexibility. And again, I was kind of speaking about that already, but the flexibility in the body will help with flexibility in the mind as well. Mm-hmm. So slow movements and deep breathing increases blood flow, warms up our muscles while holding a pose. Like I had said, the strength building and those balancing poses can build strength, right? Yoga can help with back pain relief. So yoga is as good as basic stretching for easing pain and improving mobility in people with lower back pain. And the American College of Physicians recommends yoga as a first line treatment for lower back pain. So that's me right there. So I had a lot of lower back pain and yoga was what I had chosen because I did have some, I suffered with lower back pain and migraines. And my doctor at the time had prescribed migraine pills that I think were $10 per pill. And I thought, wow, that's expensive, number one. And then the second part was, you know, pain pills for my back. And I thought, you know, I was in my late 20s. I thought, how am I going to go the rest of my life taking all of this medication? I need to find another way to help myself because I didn't want that for myself. Yeah. I wanted to find another way. So yoga came into my life during that time.
Yeah. It was the point in my life too, where I was taking a handful of pills every morning. They go, oh, why?
Yeah.
Is there other ways? Can I do without this one? This one, this one? And I do certain, I guess, yoga stretches for my back specifically before I get into my wellness stretches. Mm-hmm. And I look at it a little differently.
Good.
I'm sure there's other yoga poses that would, and I'm sure there's other, there's ways like different poses to pinpoint certain areas of your body, right? Mm-hmm. So I've found a pose that works for my lower back.
Yes.
And then I go into my wellness poses after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of like my little 5, 10, 15 minute routine in the morning, right?
And I've been, there's certainly a lot of, you know, especially, well, you know, I'm primarily in Regina, so there's plenty of studios there. I know that it's, that I think Shayla Gable is somebody who comes out to the Fort Qu'Appelle area and has done some yoga practices with folks out there. And there's some, of course, available online.
Yeah.
And I've also started taking my yoga teacher training.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
So I'm very excited for that.
Uh-huh.
But my teachers that I've worked with for, you know, about that 8-year mark, they've always been very encouraging for me to explore and express my own body. So I really enjoy classes where I'm encouraged to do what your body's telling you to do and have some fluidity and flexibility. And yes, we're in this type of pose, but if you feel like you need more, do more, of course I've moved on from, you know, the deep stress and relaxation to more strength building and that sort of thing. And they have really great playlists. And so sometimes I'm in the corner and I'm dancing in between my sets because I just feel so good in my body. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a safe space for me to have that fun too. Yeah.
And again, like you mentioned, it's just a matter of you discovering and then encouraging it.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's like we say, everybody on their own journey, you might not realize or just that moment when your body tells you something, right? That when you accept that and you acknowledge that, oh, I heard that. Okay.
Yes.
Right? That being there, you're on the right path.
Yes.
Right? That again, that's part of my journey is, and I started getting those, my body saying, oh, I need to do this or something's wrong with this. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, okay, there is a problem with that, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, I guess as you can go as far as you want, as hard as you want, but you also have that do it for yourself because that you get so much more out of it that way.
Absolutely.
Because like I said before, doing yoga, it's like, I kind of feel a little bit of it, but now I do my stretches every morning. I feel, and not just physically, I feel mentally strengthened.
Yes.
In the morning.
Beautiful.
Just to have that moment of clarity.
Yes.
Just to everything stop and just, no, it's me.
Self-love.
Breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think too, you know, a lot of us suffer from, you know, pains and back pain, neck pain.
Well, you get to a certain age, it's part of the world. It's part of the world.
And if you think about like, you know, going through your day like that all the time, you know, you can't be really living your best life, right?
Right.
And sometimes you might be reactive to somebody because you're in pain. You know, I had somebody a couple years back who I was working with a practicum student, and I didn't practice yoga for a bit because sometimes I'm sorry, I love you yoga, but when life gets busy, it does fall by the wayside.
Yep.
Anyways, he had come into my office and he said, "Are you in pain?" And I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He's like, "Because your face is different.
Oh.
You know, you're frowny, your eyes are very squinted." It's like, he's like, "I could just tell." I'm like, huh, I've never had somebody recognize that in me. And then I thought, ooh, how long have I been doing this for, right? Scowling at people and I'm looking quite unhappy. And it has nothing to do with anybody around me. I just didn't move my body that day. And I like what you said, you know, if when you do it every day, ooh, your body just feels good. You feel prepared physically for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, you know, a lot of the postures that we've developed because of our cell phone use are rolled shoulders, right? We're looking down. Hunched shoulders driving.
Yeah.
And whereas when you do some really good stretches and things like that for your body, you naturally do sit up more straight. You know, you do feel like, okay, I'm prepared for whatever is going to happen today.
Yeah.
I'm not reacting in a different, like the reactionary state, of course, being that caved in posture. Whereas if you practice something for yourself in the morning, you're sitting up straight, you're more prepared to look to the right if somebody's talking to you, or you're looking to the left and you're more aware of your environment and of your body and that self-awareness.
Yeah. And barring any broken bones or pulled muscles, day to day, just soreness in your muscles or your bones, whatever the case may be, there is medical options for that. But A, financially, B, like sometimes a lot of medications have really ugly side effects that you find out 6 months down the road that you can't go back. So yoga is a possibility to ease that pain. And once that little pain is taken care of, your mind goes, oh, no, I'm not sore anymore. I can look at something else.
Yeah. Right? And so joy.
In a good way. Yeah. Yep.
Joy is able to come back into your life now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned arthritis symptoms. And again, not for everybody, but I've noticed that once you find that stretch that really gets to that little part of your back, it's like, oh, I'm going to start with that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So gentle yoga has shown to ease some of the discomfort of tender and swollen joints for people with arthritis, according to a Johns Hopkins review of 11 studies of the health benefits of yoga. So I'm always thinking about, our older generation and even our younger generation, you know, this has no really age limit, right?
No.
It can be used. And as long as you're connecting with your body and there's so many modifications, right? Modifications. So actually this is something I've been working with my grandmother, who she lives in Alberta now, but she's got quite a bit of health conditions. And you know, we're starting very slowly. We start just with toes and her using her toes. Your big toe is the primary part of balance. Some of us have issues, foot issues, right? With diabetes and different things like that, or hypertension, or maybe it's, maybe it's some arthritis issues. So we're just starting with how do we get the big toe working and moving so that way she can have more balance and more safety when she's walking, because she's now having to use a crutch or a cane most of the time. And she doesn't want to have that. She's still wanting to walk around safely, but she's had some falls. So something as small as that is a practice that's doable for her, right? Okay. And where she's at. Mm-hmm. Oh, my mouse. There we go. So regular yoga practice may reduce levels of stress and body-wide inflammation. So I think a lot of our people can recognize the inflammation that is prevalent with the different chronic health conditions that are prevalent, right?
Heart disease rampant, for sure.
So which can contribute to healthier hearts. Several factors contributing to heart disease, including high blood pressure, excess weight, can also be addressed through yoga. And again,
we're not saying it's the cure all end all.
No,
but once again, meaningfully, it's a journey that slowly builds your body up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
okay. So here we get to some of the poses. I like this one. This is, about, let's see, it'd be the one, two, this would be the third pose that I hit in my routine, the downward dog.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So this one is, I guess I probably should have thought about that before we put them in this order. But basically, I guess maybe I'll just talk about getting, going on all fours. So I should preamble all of this with, when you are starting, and if you're curious about a yoga practice for yourself, one of the safety nets that I want to encourage you to consider and think about is being in a space where you feel physically safe. Preferably space where you are uninterrupted, where you can close the door, where you can really get into a calmness within your body. If there's things that are going on, you know, around, your phone's going off, maybe there's people, you know, in and out of the room, you're not going to be able to get where you need to go with yoga in a really good way. So really having a safe space where you're uninterrupted. Maybe if you're just starting, maybe you just want uninterrupted time for about, 15, 20 minutes to do a few of these practices. And that's going to really help. Because, as you're exploring your body, you might notice that there are some triggers for you. And some places where you're not comfortable relaxing. And sometimes this downward dog pose is one of those positions. So by getting down on all fours, I just want to kind of maybe talk about the flexibility in the hands. So when your palms are down on the ground and you can imagine yourself being on all fours, you can even start with some rotations, some flexibility building within your wrist. So kind of rolling your wrist forward and rolling it backward.
Okay.
Toes tucked means that... how can I explain this? Similarly, with your fingers kind of being forward and your the palm of your hand rolling up, your toes are going to be in the same in the same way, right? Mm-hmm. So creating some stretching in the foot. I really love stretching my foot with my toes, with my toes rolled up, because it gets right into the arch of the foot. And that's such a nice feeling. So that's kind of where you start. And being on all fours, you can, you know, move the spine around, be curious with some rolls of the shoulders and rolls of the hips and things like that. From that position, you're going to create a V shape or a teepee shape. So your hips and your hips are going to go to the sky, and you're probably going to experience a nice calf stretch in the back of the leg. So downward dog is a really good pose to get kind of your whole body into a nice stretch very, very quickly. So keeping your knees slightly bent while lengthening your spine and your tailbone. So that would be the downward dog pose. Yeah. And when you come out of poses, you always just start by stabilizing again. So bringing your knees back down to the ground, and then, you know, maybe, you know, bringing your hands down to your elbows.
Almost back to resting position.
Resting position.
Whatever you started in. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Know, I'm trying to visually try to keep up with you. There we go. Yeah. And if you want, just go on YouTube and type in downward dog pose, and you'll see, oh, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
And again, I want to put in here as well, is not a disclaimer or warning, but listen to your body. Because when you are stretching, I find there's a point where it's like, oh, okay, there it is. And if I push too far, too far, so I gotta pull back.
Yes.
So that's your range of movement that your body's allowed for at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
It could change next week, next month, a little more.
Because
that's kind of how I benchmark my yogas. Mondays, it's like, but by Friday, it's like, oh, I can stretch a little bit more,
yes.
a little bit more, a little bit more. And then over time, then that's when I'll start adding different poses.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking back now, I'm being an ADHD flag wearer, I have routines. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that my yoga is a routine.
Yes.
I have myself doing certain things a certain way, and mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the benefit, but I also don't realize that I'm being too rigid. I don't have to do that. I can just, like you said, stretch my toes. I've never stretched my toes or my feet. And I remember going through like the whole cycle, starting with your feet up to your legs, and then your hips, and then your shoulders, and all the whole thing. I haven't done that in a long time. That in one of those mornings when it's like, you know, you're 10 minutes late, you know, and I wake up, I say, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll just have a nice stretch.
Mm-hmm.
A nice wear stretch.
Yes.
Right? Not just a stretch, but really feel that stretch. Mm-hmm. Right? Even that in itself is a time for self-discovery and self-growth.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I really appreciate you mentioning that. If you are practicing this, listening to your body, you might not be where the person who's on the TV or on your screen is at.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're just starting.
That's right.
If you've never tried any of these, that's okay. You're at your first stages. So just trying. Yeah. And the more that you do practice it, your body will eventually lean into those, you know, more.
Into that mental feeling. Because I know it's usually the third time I try a pose.
Mm-hmm.
Like really, really feeling it. That's when I really get the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
First time is like, just feeling it. Second time is to get the pose correct. Because there are subtle differences in each pose, and each pose has subtle different variances to it. So you can pinpoint, right?
Absolutely.
And once you find what's right for you, there it is.
There it is.
And you repeat that.
Yeah.
And that, again, that takes me usually about three times
mm-hmm.
to get that feeling, that feeling, the real feeling from it.
You'll know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like you'll know. You'll know.
Yeah.
Like this is a good, you know, there's a bit of like that first kind of edge of pain, or maybe discomfort, and staying there, but don't push further.
Right.
Your body is sending in signal. No, we're not there yet. And you respecting that is an important part of this whole process that we're talking about with the healing benefits of yoga. And there's no need to push yourself further. There's absolutely no need to.
That's right. It's not a race.
No.
Nope.
And I guess I kind of am reflecting back to when I first started, I could just imagine how funny I looked, right? Like I was just stiff as a board. And now, you know, the fluidity that I have is probably incredible. And I just love that part, right?
And like even when we're talking about the downward dog pose, I was thinking more along like the hamstrings is what I target on, and that's my benchmark. Is that okay? I couldn't make that teepee shape very much. It was kind of a low teepee.
Yes, yes, yes.
But now it's like okay, I'm kind of high and upright, strong teepee.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize also that I stretch my hands as well. Mm-hmm. Like I start with my palms on my fingertips.
Okay.
And then I go stretch it out and then I'm on my palms.
Mm-hmm.
And then I raise my teeth a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, respecting my body, knowing, okay, that's as far as I can go for now. Mm-hmm. Easing off, mm-hmm. easing back in kind of thing.
Just, yes.
It's just a slow routine mm-hmm. that your body recognizes. After a while,
absolutely.
Oh, okay, we're doing yoga. This is good. All
yeah,
right.
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's good. And then I'll be like, "Hey, you didn't do your yoga today. I'm going to stiffen your back up."
Everybody's different. Everybody can identify with different things. I like doing yoga in the morning mm-hmm. before I roll. Some people take time during their day,
mm-hmm.
take that moment, and that might be more advantageous. Like everybody has at 3 o'clock. I wish I was home. Oh, I got to eat something. I got to wait 2 more hours before I get out of here. That might be a time where you say, you know, I'm going to lock my door, turn off my phone and just.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You don't have to roll out the mat. You don't have to put up yoga gear. You can just take two minutes just to self-meditate.
Absolutely.
If that's self-help. Again, we're not calling it self-heal.
Self-heal.
Self-healing.
Self-heal. Absolutely. Yeah. We have so much in our bodies that can help us and we just need to unlock that, right?
And again, once you get to that point, you start feeling the benefits, whether it be not as stiff throughout the day or you just feel better. You mm-hmm. feel like you have more energy. And with me, it's I have a clear outlook. I don't have a lot of yesterday's negativity mm-hmm. with the stretching that goes by. And I come out there, all right.
Yes, yes. That attunement. So yoga relaxes you and can help you to sleep better. So research shows that consistent bedtime yoga routine can help you get in the right mindset and prepare your body to fall asleep and stay asleep. So there's definitely some moves that you can do that are more relaxing. There's some moves that you can do that are kind of building up the energy in the morning. And so just, being curious online with what's available. So yoga in the morning, you may feel mental and physical energy, a boost in alertness and enthusiasm, and fewer negative feelings after getting into a routine of practicing yoga. So our bodies are always sending us signals, right? And, you know, you might not feel very happy in the morning because your body's feeling stiff and it's a time for you to practice something, you know, like... I guess I'm kind of proposing the idea of, you know, rather than assuming what it is that this feeling is, staying curious at finding ways to work through this emotion before you're placing a thought of maybe I need to feel anxious about something or I need to get going somewhere. Maybe your body's just cueing you to, hey, can we do some movement, please? Mm-hmm. You've been sleeping for 8 hours in one position. I need to get some sort of movement out of me. Please don't sit on the phone for another hour. And then you wonder why sometimes we have these anxious feelings build up and now we're in an adrenaline state, right? So I'm just proposing this idea to just be a little bit curious, you mm-hmm. know, about what your body, what signals your bodies are sending you. So yoga can also connect us to a supportive community. So participating in a yoga class can ease loneliness and provide an environment for group healing and support. Even during one-on-one sessions, loneliness is reduced as one is acknowledged as a unique individual being listened to and participating in the creation of a personalized yoga plan. And of course, yoga promotes better self-care. So I want to touch on another little bit of research that I thought was important here. So the U.S. military and the National Institutes of Health and other large organizations are listening to and incorporating scientific validation of yoga, yoga's value in healthcare. So numerous studies show yoga's benefits in arthritis, osteopenia, balance issues, oncology, women's health, chronic pain, and other specialties. So yoga can be a game changer because it gets me out of my head and into my body, which is very, very important. So those stresses of my to-do list and the anxiousness that sometimes builds up in the morning, it gets me out of those thoughts and into my body. So that way, I feel like I can take action, right? And like you had said, well, that centering. So my body can do the heavy lifting of metabolizing the emotions. And when we calm and center the body, it can calm and center our mind. Yeah. So mindfulness and self-compassion in yoga. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
All right. So mindfulness is a resource that brings us into the present moment. Mindfulness can be practiced in stillness, and it can also be practiced while moving. So again, I kind of touched on that, right? Like I find it helpful for me to be able to meditate during yoga because it's enough movement for me. Mindful and self-compassionate yoga is designed to increase mindful awareness of the body. Self-compassion is the art of treating ourselves as we would treat a good friend, compassionately attuning to, strengthening, and stretching our bodies is an act of self-compassion just within itself, right? So again, not judging, not overworking, doing basically the opposite of what, you know, we kind of tend to do in our day-to-day lives, right? Ignoring the needs of our bodies, denying ourselves or punishing ourselves in some way. So what are the benefits of this type of class? So mindful and compassionate yoga may provide the following benefits of stress relief, increased focus, which I love as an ADHD person, and body awareness, a stronger and more flexible body, enhanced self-compassion and resilience. Resilience comes into the game because when you notice that you have increased flexibility, or maybe you're doing a pose that you found difficult before and now you've got there, it can be such a resilient feeling, like, wow, I really never thought I could do a handstand, you know, as an example, and here I am doing it, right? When I go to my yoga classes, there's certainly some that look like they've been doing yoga for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
and I probably don't fit that mold, and that's okay. But I have been doing it for a very long time. So I really feel proud of myself when I can go toe to toe with some of the instructors that I've been working with, you know?
Yeah.
And that makes me feel good about myself.
Those ones who hit the handstand first try. Right. There's me kind of, They just boop, boop, dum.
Yeah.
Holding it there. It's like, ooh, that's good. That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Someday. Yeah. And again, it's as much as you want to take on, mm-hmm. right? If you find that yoga really, you really identify with it and it really helps you, mm-hmm. then yeah, I encourage you to go farther and fine tune those poses. You can get some really, really intense yoga poses that mm-hmm. we tried some that I couldn't even perform because I couldn't get my body in that position. Mm-hmm. My body wasn't ready for that position, right?
Yep.
Maybe down the road possibly, but I really enjoy the mindfulness of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that I'm able to take that time and do these stretches and get into my own mind. I'm able to take that feeling. And when I'm feeling anxious or in the middle of rush hour traffic, and again, okay, center. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just get home. Right.
Absolutely.
And there's different ways you can take that feeling that you get from yoga and apply it to your life. And when those situations arise that it fits and it's like, oh, that's what that's there for.
Absolutely.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. Nice. So I want to share with the listeners here, this is a bit of a starter of a yoga practice or okay. a pose. But it's also one of those somatic techniques that I'm always talking about that can help us regulate our nervous system. So
okay.
I think this is going to be one that I can describe easily on the air here. So
just to let you know, we are looking into doing a video podcast so you can watch and see how these poses happen. So that's down the road though.
Okay. I will bring my yoga pants if we're going to be doing that. So basically, Will, all we're going to do is sit as we are, right? So we're seated in our chair. And as always, you know, just kind of allowing the backs of the chair to hit our backs, you know, that's going to help us to feel a little bit more relaxed. And so all I'm going to get you to do is to take your right hand, placing it on the top of your head, okay? And you're just going to gently tilt your head to the right. So right ear to right shoulder. And again, we're not forcing, we're not straining, okay? Now what you're going to do for listeners and to Will, you're just going to take your eyes, Will, and you're just going to look up into the left corner of your eye. So as we're in this position here, we're holding our head, right ear to right shoulder, our eyes looking at the left side of our eye, and we're just going to practice a few short breaths here. So inhale in and exhale out. Inhaling in and exhaling out, noticing if your neck allows you to relax a bit more And as you're in this pose, it might. Once you've held that breath for three, you're going to put your head back to straight, keeping your hand on your head just until you feel nice and stable. And then we're going to switch so right hand comes down. So left hand on top of the head and left ear to left shoulder. And we're just going to take our eyes and look out the right corner of our eye now up into the ceiling. And just remembering to inhale in and exhale out. Three breaths. And just gently allowing those shoulders to relax. Noticing this gentle stretch for our necks. And just keeping those eyes up into the right corner of our eyes. And again, once we've had about three, four breaths, returning our head back to straight and facing forward, stabilizing that head until you feel nice and straight, and then the left hand can come back down again. Yeah, so I always like to do a nice big inhale in and exhale out afterwards, and then you just kind of notice, you know, how was that neck feeling? Yeah, a little stiff,
I
hey?
I feel it on the sides. Or,
mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, and just again, reiterate to when you come back to your resting position to just take a few breaths, because if you rush it, you could... I've almost fainted.
Oh, okay.
Definitely
okay.
From doing a pose and then snapping back to reality. Like,
true.
Whoa.
True.
Because your mind and your body is still just catching up. Mm. Still catching up. I look at it anyway.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I got to remember. See, even that's something I got to remember, mm-hmm. is my ability to move from those states is much faster. So thank you for that, Will. I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's coming from the 65-year-old.
And we're back.
And I picked myself up on the floor right for number two.
Yes, this is great. Thank you.
As always, we say, it's listen to your body no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're doing on your healing journey, whether it be yoga, whether it be meditation, mm-hmm. whether it be jogging, whether it be weight, whatever you want to do, as long as it feels good, mm-hmm. then that's good. That's empowering yourself just by making you feel good. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say that and being on my journey, I know that means that clinically it could mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
And when you're ready for that journey, that is what will unfold. And I don't want to say everything that I've experienced, because some people aren't ready and some people go, yeah, I've been through that. So as I always say, respect everybody on their healing journey. And with this podcast, I'm glad to be with you to help people identify. And that's the first thing, is to identify. Not that you need help, not that something's wrong, just that, hold on a minute, that it feels good when I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then do more of that, because that's your body saying, hey, thank mm-hmm. you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah. So I have a 10-minute guided meditation that I would like to share. So this is from the Calm app. This is also on YouTube. So this is something that you can listen to for free. I guess it's giving me spring vibes.
Yeah.
there's some water sounds to it, some birds, you know, I'm already thinking about spring apparently, but I just encourage our listeners to enjoy this 10-minute meditation.
Let's click on the inbox.
Oh, sorry.
The inbox tab. You gotta use them. Yeah, use the ball. There we go. Click, and then just press play when you're ready.
Enjoy.
Once again, Christy, thank you very much for joining us this morning, today, and look forward to the next podcast.
Yes.
And remember, you are very important.
Welcome to the Daily Calm. Let's start today's session by finding a comfortable position with a tall, straight back. Allow your arms to rest gently. When you're ready, close your eyes. Bring full attention to this very moment. Settling in and allowing the mind and body to still. And with openness, patience, and curiosity, bring your awareness to the breath. taking a deep breath in and releasing it fully. Follow the breath as it flows in and out of your body. Taking one last deep breath before letting the breath settle, allowing it to feel natural and easy. Don't try to force the breath or regulate it in any way. Just allow it to flow naturally on its own. And we'll scan down the body now, concentrating our attention from part to part. Start by bringing your attention to the top of your head and scalp, feeling whatever's happening in this area. You might feel tingling or heat, throbbing or soft vibrations. There may be strong sensation, or you might not feel much at all. Now lower your attention to your forehead, face, and jaw. Allow the muscles here to relax. On your next out-breath, let that sensation dissolve. Lower your focus to the neck, letting the throat and sides and back of the neck soften. Notice any sensation that arises on the surface of the skin or deeper within. Now bring your attention to your shoulders, noticing if there's any tension or strain. Breathe into your shoulders, and if any parts feel tight, allow them to relax. Extend your awareness down the arms, towards the wrists, palms, and fingers. On the next out-breath, allow them to soften. Now come to the chest, observing the rise and fall of each breath. Notice how the lungs expand and contract. Direct your attention to your upper and lower back. There may be some intensity, as this is an area where we commonly hold stress. If you notice any tension or warmth or discomfort, just observe what's there. With each breath you take, soften just a little bit more. Moving your focus around to your abdomen. Notice it expanding, filling up with air, and slowly emptying on the exhale. Then bring your attention to your pelvis. Notice where your body makes contact with the ground or your chair. And direct your breath into this area, relaxing into stillness. Now scan your legs, observing your thighs. Notice where they make contact with your cushion or chair. Lowering your attention to your knees and your shins and calves. Let your legs soften and tensions release. When you're ready, breathe into your ankles, your feet, and toes. Let them relax and become soft, sinking into a state of relaxed awareness. And as we near the end of the session, take a moment to notice how you feel. You may find that you're more relaxed, as this is often a common outcome of meditation. And this is one of the reasons why it's so helpful to meditate during times of stress. When we're experiencing stress, our amygdala fires up and it's difficult to make thoughtful decisions. So if we find our mind is clouded due to overwhelm, we can use meditation as a tool to calm the mind down. Ideally, we want to meditate in a preventative way so we don't get to that point. But the practice is here for you whenever you need it. And as we near the end of the session, bring your attention back to the room. Wiggle your fingers and toes. And slowly open your eyes. I hope you enjoyed today's Daily Calm. I invite you to bring this state of peace with you into the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
If our conversations spurred some questions and you'd like to talk, you can reach me at 306-526-6947. 306-526-6947.